No.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got to get it right.
Good morning, everyone. Just get this straightened up. I see there's a few of you in already. Good to see you all. Hope you're all still feeling blessed, highly favoured, deeply loved, as you all should be. It's not about circumstances, is it? It's about the Word of God. So it's good to see you this morning. Welcome to MGF Live, our second week, not being in the building. Sorry, that was Nunzi just listening for a little bit there, so excuse our technical difficulties. Yeah, so great to see you this morning. We're going to share, just like we did last week. We are going to look at the Word. We're going to receive our online offering and pray for it, believing that we're still going to be giving into all those good works. And we're going to take communion together. So, good to see you all as you're joining. Let's pray, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much that we're able to gather this morning as your church. Thank you, Father, that it's not about the building, it's about the people. So thank you that we can gather together, assemble together to build ourselves up, to encourage one another, to edify and exhort. Thank you for the technology, Father, that we have and able to gather when we're not together. So I thank you that we're here to do church this morning. Praise your holy name. Thank you for all the way we're going to encourage each other. Thank you the way you're going to encourage us. Hallelujah. We just thank you for church. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as I said, welcome. Good to see you online. I've been seeing a lot of people during the week, not face to face, but on Zoom. We've been meeting together every day on Zoom. If you're not getting involved in that, send me an email or a private message, and I will get you on that mailing list, and you can come in and meet one another and encourage one another. So once again, I'm sitting here in my living room. I've got the living room congregation behind me.
Woohoo! Hello.
So we've got Val, Lise, hey, and Nans. So they are my sounding board this morning. So that's good. So let's look at the Word, shall we? Let's pray over the Word and pray for these seeds that we're about to plant. So Father, I thank you for your Word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. Thank you for the truths held within this wonderful book. Pray for all the hearts that are receiving this Word this morning. Pray for all the minds that are understanding it. Speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, that as these seeds go into our heart, we get understanding and the seeds are not stolen away. So we thank you for your Word, Father. Thank you that it's understanding of this Word that will see our lives being transformed. So thank you for these words, this incorruptible seed that we're now planting in our hearts. Speak our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let me just get this open. Still quite surreal, this, but we'll get there. By the end of this period, all the pastors and ministers will be experts in Facebook and Zoom and all the other social media platforms. But it'll be good when we can get together in real life. But until then, we're going to use the technology. So, excuse me, I am going to carry on with my mini-series on atonement. It's probably not so many now. I think we're up to 5 weeks. This is the fifth week, I think. So, yes, somebody out there will tell us if it's the fourth week or fifth week. I think it's the fifth week where we are studying out about this word atonement. One of these big words that we see in scriptures sometimes. So what does atonement mean? Anybody want to type that in? It'll probably take too long. Anybody?
To catch up.
Okay. Well, I've got my definition of atonement here. It is the reconciliation of God and mankind through the finished work of Jesus Christ. when he took all our bad stuff and we got all his good stuff. Thank you, Stu. It's the fifth. Excellent. So we've seen some wonderful exchanges so far, haven't we? We've seen sin for righteousness, my favourite verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've seen punishment for forgiveness, what I think we looked at in the second week. We've looked at sickness and disease for healing. That was another good one. Poverty for abundance. Yes, I did the P word. Looked at prosperity. And then last week we looked at rejection for acceptance. So it is five. So I'm going to cover another two today. I'm going to cover another two exchanges. One that I've never heard taught of in this context. And one that is linked with this. So what I'm going to look at today is how he took our humanity so we could get his deity. Let that sink in. He took our humanity so that we could get his deity. And he suffered death so that we could have life. So two more great exchanges that took place on the cross. Two more wonderful gifts that we get because of the atonement, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. So I want to lay some groundwork first before I get into those. I want to show you, you know, if I'm going to say he took our humanity so we could get his deity, he must have been God in the first place if we're talking about as an exchange. So let's look at Genesis 1:1, right to the start. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, this is the first mention of Jesus Christ in the scriptures. You might be thinking, well, I can't see a mention of Jesus there. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But the Hebrew word for God there is slightly different. It's one God, but plural. So you could actually say one gods, which is quite interesting. It's the first mention of the Trinity in the word, first mention of the Godhead. And it's really important, see, because we have to understand that Jesus was God. Always was, always is, always will be. He was the agent of creation. If we look at Hebrews 1:2, it'll tell us that there. If we look at Colossians 1:16 and 17, it will tell us that there as well. He was the agent of creation. And look at John 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know this is talking about Jesus. Every theologian will tell you this is talking about Jesus. Talking about the Logos, the living Word. And that's telling us that Jesus was actually God. Jesus didn't come into existence when he was born on the earth. Jesus always has been, and he is God. And he knew he was God. You know, some people say, oh, well, Jesus never claimed his divinity. Yes, he did. Go to John 8, verse 57. So he's having a discussion with the Jews. He's talking about Abraham. And then the Jews, this is verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then we see in the next verse, the religious Jews just doing their nut, just going berserk, trying to kill Jesus. You say, well, why were they trying to kill Jesus? Because Jesus there had just said he was God. By saying, I am, and quoting Exodus 3:14, Jesus was saying, I am God. So there's no debate about that. Well, according to the scriptures, there's no debate. Jesus was definitely God. And this God, this King of Kings, Lord of the universe, the God who created everything, became a man. Look at John 1:14. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Awesome. Jesus, fully God, part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, came to earth and lived as a man. Now,
if you look up all the history books and dig into Google, you will find that there's no serious historian who claims that Jesus didn't live. That there wasn't this man called Jesus who lived and died in Palestine at the time that the Gospels were written. There's no serious historian who ignores that now. So this man called Jesus did live and he did die. The real debate should be about what his death meant. And the real debate should be whether he was raised from the dead or not. So we know he died on the cross. He came to earth as a man and he died a human death. Now, well, why did he do that? Oh, he came to deal with sin. Yeah, but that was just, he had to do that in order to do his main mission. And he came to earth, died the death of a man, listen to this, so we could live like God.
Amen.
Died the death of a man so that we could live like God. I'm going to let that sink in. Not that we're going to be God, but that in a real sense, he takes our humanity and we get his deity so that we can actually live like God. Let me ask you some questions if you're trying to get that around in your head. Excuse me. Do you think that God is ever sick?
No.
No. Thank you. Do you think that God is ever ill? That God is ever in pain? Do you think that God is ever in lack? Do you think that God is missing anything? Do you think that God lives in poverty? Do you think that God is ever depressed? Do you think that God ever feels rejected? No. Now, Jesus died, as part of this great exchange, he died as a human being so we could live a God kind of life. Mm-hmm. If God isn't sick, we can live without being sick. If God isn't poor, we can live without being poor. If God lives with never being depressed, we can live never being depressed. See, all those things that I spoke about, sickness, poverty, rejection, depression, that's all things that men suffer from. Men get sick, men get poor, men get depressed. Well, that's just life, you may say. Well, it is life if you're living like a man. But if you're living like God and the way he wants you to live, you can live in supernatural health, supernatural abundance. A supernatural abundance. Amen. Sickness, poverty, disease, rejection, depression. That's the life that most men are living at the moment. But we don't have to live like that. Why? Because Jesus died as a man so we could live in the power of God. I really love that. And it's what Jesus really wants for us. We'll go to some very well-known verses now to show you what Jesus wants for you. So go to 3 John verse 2. If you've been coming to NGF for any length of time, listen to me preaching, you'll have heard these many times. 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Above all things, above everything. What does the Lord want for you, beloved? He wants you to prosper and be in health. He wants you to live an abundant life, which takes me to John 10:10. All verses we know, but all verses are tied in with this great exchange. Jesus dying as a man so we could live like a God, or live like the God. It's awesome. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Another verse we all know, but do we really know it? Life in abundance. I spoke about that 2 or 3 weeks ago, remember? Told you to look at the Greek. The Greek word for abundance was perissos. Love it. It means in the sense of beyond. Do you remember that? Super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. That's what our life is supposed to be like, folks. And Jesus died as a man so we could live like God. no poverty, no sickness, no disease, no depression, no anxiety, no fear. Because God suffers from none of those. Jesus died as a man so we could live in the same way as he lives. Superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Now that's life. That's what life's meant to be like. He died so we could live. That's where they're tied together. Died so we could live. But there's also this died as a man so we could live like God. I love it. Not just in eternity. Too many folks waiting for heaven. Yeah, it's going to be great up there. Streets going to be paved with gold, blah, blah, blah. All this, it's going to be fantastic. But he died so we could live now. Not just in heaven, but have eternal life now. Have a fantastic, abundant life now. I love the Christian Aid strapline. We believe in life before death. I think that's great. Life before death. Awesome life. We are meant to have this abundant life now. That's what Jesus came to bring. And it's not me saying this. You just read John 10:10. If you've got a King James Bible and one of these ones that's got red, you'll see that it's in red writing. If you can sit down, can you see that? Red writing. That means Jesus said it, not just Vic. Superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. I love that. That's for us now. Absolutely now. And as Stewie wrote up earlier, we have all spiritual blessings. Go to Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hath blessed us. Past tense. Absolutely. Past tense. And all spiritual blessings. If Evelyn was here, I'd ask her what all meant. It means all, to the exclusion of nothing. We already have all that spiritual blessing through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We already have all we need for an abundant life. So how can our life not be abundant, you must be asking. If that's all there ready for us, why is our life not abundant? I tell you why, because we're not receiving it and we're not believing it. That's the only way it can be. God isn't holding anything back from us. The only way we are not manifesting this in our lives is because we don't understand it. God is not holding anything back. It's something within ourselves that is stopping that. Go to another familiar verse for MGF. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There, it's a bit like Ephesians 1 3 again. It's saying, through the power of God, through what he's done, he's given us everything, all things. There's that word all again. He's given us all things for life and godliness. And that word life is Zoe life, it's God's kind of life, it's abundance. So how do we get it, Vic? Well, the next part of the verse tells you, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who called us to glory and virtue? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we have knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of his finished work, knowledge of who we are in Christ, knowledge of what we have in Christ, those things that we've already got, all those spiritual blessings, will be made manifest in our lives. And we can live that abundant life. If we're missing anything, it's we're missing knowledge. We're missing understanding. So it's not, we don't need to pray to God for anything. Don't say, God, give me this, God, give me that. He's given us all things. We don't need to pray to God for that. What we need to pray is for him to help us with understanding, that we can have the desire to look into the word, desire to listen to teachings, desire to ask people questions and get more understanding. And that way we'll be able to see all these things that we need for life and godliness. Why am I always encouraging you to study the word? That's the reason why. Get into the word. I want you to live this life of abundance. And the way to do that is through understanding the scriptures. Believing it and receiving it is the key. Absolutely the key. If you've been following my brain detox journey through Facebook, you'll see that what I'm doing really is a process of increasing my knowledge about Jesus. Yeah, I'm doing it in a certain way. I'm following a method. I'm following a model. But all I'm doing is trying to increase my knowledge about Jesus, replacing our old toxic thoughts with new positive thought patterns from the Word of God. And this is all about Jesus. So that's all we're doing. Being transformed by mind renewal through studying the Word. And why is that possible? Well, because he died as a man. He died as a man so we could live like God. And once we are born again, we have that potential to live like that God right inside of us. We all have that potential right now, right inside of us, to live that godly, that abundant life that Jesus wants us to do. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Used this verse before in the series, used it a lot. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made our sin so that we could be made our righteousness, his righteousness. We are righteous as God right now. There is a part of us inside us that is the same as God. It has to be if we're as righteous as him. We can only be as righteous as him if we're like him. Do you get that? Do you get the logic? We are like him in a part of us. That's what that verse is saying. Look at Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Your new man, that new, your new born-again spirit, the second you become born again, that new creature that's spoken of in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that new creature is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's only one person I know who is righteous and truly holy, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. But this is saying, when you're born again, when you're in Christ, you get that. You're the same as that. See, in that sense, there's a part of you that is absolutely godlike. Amen. Absolutely godlike. If you are in Christ, your spirit right now is just like God. So that's where this, Jesus died as a man so that you, hallelujah, you could be born like God. Just thought of that. You can be, he died as a man so you could be born like God. Now, not in this flesh, but in your born again spirit. You're just like God. In fact, if God looks at your born again spirit, he looks and he sees Jesus Christ. I've told you guys all that before. It's brilliant. Why? How can I say that? Because when he looks at your spirit, he sees righteousness and true holiness. That could only be the same as Jesus. So we have that spirit, exactly the same as Jesus, inside us right now. And that is why I say, according to Scripture, we can live like God. We can live as God. No sickness, no pain, no fear, no anxiety. Doesn't matter what's going on out there. Doesn't matter what virus comes our way. Doesn't matter what poverty comes our way. We can just change our life and live like God. Awesome truth. And we've got it all inside us now. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Awesome. All we need to do, is get that goodness that's inside us, outside of us. Isn't it? We've got it inside. We just need to get it out. And the way we get it out, I know some of you are not going to like this. I can't wave a magic hand over you, although I can pray with you. I can't wave a magic hand over you to make things better, to change you. You need to change yourself through knowledge. We've already seen that today. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and I'll read from verse 9. Yeah, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, because of this, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. What does that mean? Well, what it doesn't mean is to calculate it out as in a maths problem. It's not about finding a solution. It's about finishing. It's about getting it to work. It's about accomplishing. And in this sense, it is getting it from the inside and getting it outside. Work out your salvation. You know, if you've got someone, how do I explain this? Someone stuck in a hole and you get a bit of wire and you're kind of poking and pulling it. You're working it out. And then when you get it, it pops out. You've worked it out. It's like that. So working out your salvation is like getting the perfection of God that is inside your born-again spirit right now and getting it out into your body. Working it out into your body. What are we working out? Working out healing. Working out abundance. Working out acceptance. Working out, what's the opposite of depression? Joy. Working out joy. Working out that you can rejoice. It's working out all those things that's in your born-again spirit. And in that way, manifesting the life of God, manifesting that Zoe life, manifesting that abundant life. Jesus died as a man so we could live like God. No sickness, no poverty, no disease, no rejection. I'm kind of repeating myself, but you're getting this, guys. Because it sounds quite a con. I'm not saying you're God. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus came as a man. I'm not saying you're God. But I'm saying that part of you right now is exactly the same as God. Doesn't suffer from sickness. You know, in your born-again spirit, there's no sickness. Your born-again spirit never gets sick. Your born-again spirit is never in fear. Your born-again spirit is never in anxiety. Why? Because it's just like the Lord. It's just like Jesus. So I hope you understand that. I hope you're getting this, that what Jesus has given us through the cross. He came to earth, died as a man, so that we could live that godly life, that Zoe life that he so wants us to live. Why would he say, I want you to have life of what was it? Huge quantity and great quality. I can't remember the exact words. Why would he say that if he didn't mean it? He wants you to live that godly life. Above all things, he wants you to be in health and prosperity. So it's all there in the word. So guys, if we're born again, that life of God is inside every single one of us. Every single one of us. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross as a man. He died as a man so we could live a godly life. We could live like God. No pain, no sickness, no lack, etc. That's another wonderful exchange that took place on the cross. Another wonderful part of the atonement. Death for life. And frail humanity for awesome deity. Amen. So I hope that blessed you. I don't know if we'll be talking about the atonement next week or if I'll be moving on to something else. I was focusing on my meditation time this morning on all the I wills that Jesus was saying. So I might think about that this week. I thought that was really powerful. If we start trusting all the I wills. I mean, Jesus said, I will forgive you. Jesus said, I will heal you. He said, I will prosper you. I'm paraphrasing. So maybe we'll work on that next week. But amen. I hope that message blesses you. Thanks for the comments coming through. Some of you 5 or 10 minutes ahead of me with some of your scriptures. Well done, guys. But that was great. So now I'm going to pray. As we receive an offering, thank you to everyone that contacted me during the week for our bank details. Bless you guys. Thank you for wanting to give into the ministry during this time when we're not meeting in a building. But as I told you last week, we've still got commitments to meet, commitments I want to fulfill. We've got ministries that we support. We've got local charities that we support. We've got our work in India. Now, if you've been looking at our Facebook page for the Friends of India project, you'll see that we've run into difficulties in India. The government regulations in India are much stricter than they are here. So, unfortunately, we've had to cease operations at the moment. We've had to close the feeding station. Sundar's been forced to close the feeding station for 3 weeks. So we're just hoping and praying that after these 3 weeks, we'll be able to get back up and running again. I'm determined to keep giving into that work, though, because the people in India are being hit particularly hard. A lot of suffering there at the moment. And when they come out of that, we need to have funds there ready to give into that ministry, because there's going to be a huge need, even more need than there is at present. So I would ask you to keep that India work on your heart. Pray for it. Pray for the guys in India. But also consider to keep giving into the India funds, because once we come out the other side of this, we're going to need funds to really help the Indian, our Indian brothers and sisters get back on their feet. So a couple of ways you can give. We've had one suggestion I told you about last week, where get an envelope, stick some cash into it, stick it away, don't use it for anything else. Keep it for the church, keep it for the kingdom. And then once we start getting back together, we can get that into our bank account and get it sent across. But like I said, also, if you want to give online, just get in touch with me and I'll send you the details. You can also get the details on our website, murraygrace.org. And thank you to those of you that have started giving through BACS and through direct debits. Bless you guys. Really thank you for that. So I'm going to speak a prayer over this offering that we're receiving. So Father, I thank you so much that everything we have is from you. Thank you that you have given us all that we need. Thank you for all the resources and finances that you have given us. Thank you that we are blessed through the work of our hands. Thank you that you have given us the skills, the knowledge, the experience to generate wealth through our businesses and through our work. So thank you, Father. And thank you for these offerings that we receive in faith this morning. Thank you for all the seed that is being planted. Thank you for all the cheerful hearts that are giving in the right attitude with the right heart this morning. Thank you for everyone that's put money in that little envelope, determining to keep money aside as well. And thank you for all the people who have given online. So I thank you for this offering. I thank you that it'll be used wisely, used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So now, if you've all got your elements, I can't see if you've got them. It's not like Zoom where I make you hold up your cup and your wafer so I can see what you've got. But we're going to take communion this morning. Nunzi's going to serve us, so serve each other and take communion with us. So hallelujah. So we're just breaking up bread right now. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. And the blood. Hallelujah. So Father, I thank you so much for our message. Thank you that we're able to gather together this morning. And thank you now that we can gather around these elements. We can take time to focus on the amazing finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the symbol of his broken body. Thank you that as perverse as it seems, I thank you that we can celebrate the breaking of that body. Father God himself said it pleased him to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ. Bruise was to pulverize and crush and absolutely destroy. It pleased God the Father to bruise Jesus. And it pleased him because he knew the good it was going to do for you. So Father, I thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that it was the blood of Jesus that was the agent of forgiveness. Thank you that forgiveness flowed as his blood flowed down that cross. Thank you that all forgiveness flowed at that one time. Every man was forgiven for all sin forever. Thank you that it tells us that in Hebrews 10, that once forever sacrifice. And now thank you that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, his work finished. Hallelujah. So we thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for his amazing finished work. Thank you for all the great exchanges that took place on that cross. Thank you for all these exchanges we've been learning about over the last few weeks. Thank you for that one today, where he died as a man, so we could live like God. No sickness, no pain, no disease, no suffering, no rejection, no lack. Hallelujah. We thank you for the amazing finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that service blessed you. Don't forget, we also have our daily communion at MGF. We're doing that through Zoom. If you want to be on that, email me your email address and I'll send you out the links. It'll be great to see you. We've had lots of people online over the week so far. We've seen brothers and sisters from India, from the States, Singapore, Isle of Wight, London, Northern Ireland, and across Scotland and across Murray as well. So that's great, being able to gather together every day and just encourage one another, meet as family. So bless you, I would encourage you to do that as well. If you want to chat, you've got my phone number. If you haven't got my phone number, message me. If you want to chat, just give me a call. If you want me to call you, that'll be great. Let's stay in communication with each other. Let's stay in community. Let's stay as a family. Keep each other encouraged, edified and exhorted through this difficult time. Phone each other. Phone those who are not online, not on Facebook or Zoom or whatever. Try and encourage them to get online. But if not, let's start phoning each other and keeping in community. So bless you all. It's lovely to see you this morning. Well, I can see your little what are they called? Little emoji things. I can see you at the top. It's not like Zoom. But thank you for your comments. Thank you for all the encouraging emails and phone calls that you've been giving me this week to carry on, keep on going. We'll keep doing this. We'll keep meeting every week on here. We'll keep meeting every day on Zoom. And like I say, if you want a phone call, give me a shout. We can have a chat. So God bless you. We'll see you all soon. You know, guys, we will get through this. We'll all get through this. And we'll have a big, big party very, very soon. So God bless. See you on here next week. See you tonight at 8 o'clock for communion. There'll be a new timetable out soon for all of next week. So bless you. We'll see you all soon. Bye now.